We'll praise your name forever. We'll praise your name forever. Christ the Lord.
Continue with our theme, Church, It's His House. The subtitle for our theme is Roles, Rules, and Rails. Roles, Rules, and Rails. So the key verse, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, these things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Knowing how we ought to conduct ourselves in the house of God. It's His house. Praise the Lord. And as we study that theme, we are looking today, as we did last week, from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 to 15. I desire, therefore, that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also, the women to be modest in their appearance. They should wear decent and appropriate clothing and not to draw attention to themselves by the way they fix their hair or by wearing gold or pearls or expensive clothing. For women who claim to be devoted to God should make themselves attractive by the good things they do. Women should learn quietly and submissively. I do not let women teach men nor have authority over them. Let them listen quietly. For God made Adam first and afterward He made Eve, and it was not Adam who was deceived by Satan. The woman was deceived and sin was the result, but woman will be saved through childbearing, assuming they continue to live in faith, love, holiness, and modesty. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you will speak into our lives. Release grace and anointing in this place that will make the proclamation of your word effective. Every resistance to the preaching of God's word, every critical spirit be stilled. We take victory in the house of God. They overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb. And the word of the testimony is your word. And so we say amen to it. And everybody said amen. Please be seated. Praise the Lord. I want to repeat some things that I repeated last week for those who are not here. Number one, I don't want you to jump to conclusion when you read these passages and sit with a preconceived notion lest you miss what the Lord wants to speak into our lives. Number two, we are reading from God's holy word, the inspired word of God, which I believe is infallible and it's without error. Praise the Lord. Number three, as we look through the scriptures, we want to come to certain conclusions as we move forward. Number one, this is God's house. Praise the Lord. We are serving the eternal King. We are in His Majesty's service. If I were to come to your house, you have certain etiquettes that belong to your house. There is a certain rules that are placed in your house. I cannot just simply walk in wherever I want, do whatever I feel like, because it's not my house, it's your house. Praise the Lord. If so be, when we enter into the presence of the eternal King, He has certain decorum. He has certain standards set, and that is what we are reading. Praise the Lord. But we also want to make sure that we don't misinterpret what the word says. So last week, we want to be reminded the church a few things. Number one, we said that as God's word teaches us, and as we understand Both male and female are creation of God. They are the crown jewel of God's creation. Both male and female are created equal in the sight of God. Their worth and their value is equal in the sight of God. Case in point, we said, was they both are redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. They are not redeemed by corruptible things like silver or gold, but they are redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. In other words, the price of redemption for a man and a woman is same. That means their worth in the sight of God is equal. Praise the Lord. Having said that, we said that equal in worth does not necessarily mean that they have equal roles. They differ in roles. What God intends from each is different, and the roles that God's word has mentioned in the scriptures is very clear. Some of the roles are not interchangeable. And we gave a case in point. The case in point was what? Anybody remembers? Childbearing. No matter how hard the man is going to try, how hard the medical science has advanced, he cannot do it because he's not meant to do it. It's not wired in a way for him to bring forth a child, but he can bring forth a spiritual offspring. Both men and women can bring forth spiritual offspring. You can travail in your prayer house on your knees, and you can give birth to spiritual children. Bring someone into the presence of God. That's a different topic. We're not going to get in there. We also said that the scripture makes it very clear. What is the clarity that we have up in the scripture? We were created in the likeness and image of God. Both male and female reflect the likeness and the image of God. Praise the Lord. So we said about our God, our Creator, the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are co-equal. They coexist and they are co-eternal. So both, all three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they are co-eternal, co-equal, and they coexist. They are equal in every form and manner, yet they have different roles. We don't think that the Father is more holier than the Son. Neither do we think that the Holy Spirit is more divine than the Son. In the case and point that we presented about salvation, God the Father planned salvation. God the Son executes the salvation. God the Holy Spirit makes it a reality in our lives. What has been completed on the cross of Calvary around 2,000 years ago, the Holy Spirit makes it a reality by the engrafting, incorruptible seed of God's word being implanted within us by the work of the Holy Spirit and the word of God. A person is born again into the kingdom of God. In other words, the Holy Spirit takes what has been accomplished on the cross of Calvary and makes it a reality. No matter what age you are living in. So they are equal, yet they differ in their roles. Praise the Lord. Male and female, man and woman are equal in the sight of God, yet they differ in their role. Because their roles are different, that does not make one superior over the other. Neither does it make one inferior over the other. So we will move forward, taking into consideration the context of Paul's words here in chapter 2 and chapter 3. He's talking about the public worship assembly of the church. He's identifying the leadership role of men in praying in the assembly. Moreover, he sheds light into the roles of men and women in God's house, the church of the living God. Praise the Lord. He makes it clear how men and women ought to conduct themselves in the house of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, it's very clear that man and woman are equal in sight of God, yet they have differing roles. That's what we said. So shall we move on? We see that he starts with verse 8, that men ought to pray. How they ought to pray? They ought to lift up their holy hands and pray without wrath or dispute, without wrath or anger. Praise the Lord. When you read that, would you and I say that that is exclusive role of men is just praying? No. We know that women pray too. Sometimes I believe, maybe I am a bit prejudiced based on what I have seen. I feel that women are more fervent in prayer. I've seen women on their knees battling in prayer. Is it because we see that men quite often lack in that realm, that the Holy Spirit is drawing attention to men and calling them out, saying, men ought to pray? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. After, why is Paul singling out men? It might come to our mind, and the answers is in what we are talking about. After telling Timothy about men praying in the church and everywhere, if men do not pray, the local church will not have dedicated leaders to oversee its ministry. Hello. We talked about the connection between our household and the household of God. Every one of us belong to a nuclear household. And the church comprises of many nuclear households. When we come together for corporate worship, we are the household of God, not only as a local church, but also as a universal church. But when we read the epistle that Paul wrote to Timothy, it makes the connection between the household, our nuclear household, and the household of God. You remember what's the connection? When he talks about the qualification of elders, one of the qualifications of the elder is he needs to be a person who manages his home well. In other words, the connection is if you cannot manage your home well, you might not be able to manage the household of God. If you cannot manage the 3, the 4, the 5, the 7, the 10 household, your individual nuclear household, then the Bible says you might not be able to manage the household of God, which is many, many, many times. So the connection you see between the individual household and the household of God is very clear. At the same time, the scripture says, tells Timothy how he needs to deal with the men and women of God in the household of God. He says you need to treat the older men as fathers. Treat the older women as mothers. Treat the young men as brothers. Treat the young women as sisters. And then he adds one little word there. You know what it is? Anybody know? What's about the fathers, the mothers, the brothers? When it comes to sisters, Paul adds something else. He says, treat the young women as sisters in absolute purity. I don't need to elaborate on that. I think it's self-explanatory. So we will move forward. So what is he trying to say? He's saying, what you learn at home, how you deal with your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, you know, you need to deal with them. Give the equal respect and honor to the fathers, plural, to the fathers, the mothers, the brothers, the sisters in the household of God. Praise God. Praise God. So men ought to pray. Why? Because our offsprings have to see us as praying men of God, praying women of God. Praise the Lord. And you have to carry that culture into the house of God. Quite often, we as men, we slack. Why do we slack? Maybe that's why the Holy Spirit is drawing our attention to the need for prayer. Praise the Lord. Because engaging with God could be time consuming. Engaging with God is a habit, a lifestyle habit that we need to cultivate. And I said, it's never too late. It's never too late. If it did not happen in the past, that does not mean it should not happen today. Let's do it. It's not too late. And I used a very simple example. The simple example being when you sit around the table to eat, lunch, dinner, bow down and say a word of prayer. That will initiate or it will give you the jump start that you want. Okay? All right. Let's move on. Praise the Lord. Now we want to move to the next realm. Hallelujah. We pray that the men of God in the house of God will step up and will take the initiative, both in their homes and in the church, when it comes to leadership, spiritual leadership. Praise the Lord. All right, now we'll move to the next part. Okay, this is how the words go. Anybody read the verse 9 for me? In like manner. Also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Okay, the women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Yes.
With shamefacedness
and surprise. Hmm. If I was assigned to write this, guys, I would have been politically correct. I would have made sure that nobody would have a hint of offense. I would have written it like this. That's why probably I was not born at that time and I did not write it. I would have written, likewise, the women ought to pray. They need to make sure that they lift up their hands and pray with holy hands. That's what I would have written because I would want to balance it. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean that the women should not pray. That's what I said. It does not mean the women should not pray. Now, when I read, the first question that comes to my mind is, you know, why talk about women's clothing and not men's clothing? Why? I mean, it sounds like, especially in this day and age, I mean, we want to treat everybody equal, right? It makes pastors' job. People are dying to become pastors. I don't know why. If you want to, I mean, we have multiple openings. And if you are watching our internet, it's just a word out, all right? All right, why talk about women's clothing and not men's? It's a question that might come up. It's because, listen to me carefully, it's because it is the Holy Spirit that is addressing the issue. It's the Holy Spirit that's addressing the issue. Holy Spirit is focusing on the woman's dress because there is a potential snare in that realm. So, number one, he gives us a heads up. I'm just letting that sink in. Not because Paul was a grouchy old man, was a male chauvinist. Holy Spirit is the one that is addressing the issue. Whenever you see the Holy Spirit addressing the issue, you pause and you ask yourself, Lord, is it applicable to me? That's all. We don't need to just go overboard with this and that and all those things, you know. Listen, it's very clear. I want you to understand this. The Bible does not depict which and what dress one should wear. Rather, promotes modesty and sobriety. The Bible doesn't say which dress you should wear and what you should wear, because each culture has a different kind of dress. Each culture has a different kind of dress. And where you live, that culture and environment decides also or dictates what you, the apparel that you wear. Some places that you go, men wear robes. Women wear robes. Some places that you go, you see people have a wrap around their body. Anybody know what's a wrap around their body? What's a wrap around their body? Not a chipotle wrap. What's the wrap? And all those who have a wrap stand up? No. You know, it's people have different, the Bible does not say which dress to wear, what to wear, none of those things. The Bible does not say how low is too low. The Bible does not say how short is too short. The Bible does not say how tight is too tight. The Bible does not say how revealing is too much revealing. First Paul says that the ladies, the sisters, the women should adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation. Praise the Lord. As you read, you will see that the contrast that is presented here is between the artificial glamour of the world and the true beauty of a godly life. Paul uses three words in root language in the Greek word to help them understand what godly dress involves. Again, the Bible does not say what dress you can wear and what dress you cannot wear. It does not say it. Okay? But it gives us the principle there so that we understand. Their choice of clothing was to be, he uses three words, and those three words is in Greek. Number one, kosmios, meaning it should be modest. Praise the Lord. It should be modest. Next one is eidos, that means proprietary, or it should be one that is shamefacedness, as brother read. The third term that is used is sophrosune, meaning sobriety. Those are the three terms that is used. So when we stand before the mirror, all we have to do is ask these three things. Moderate. What else? Propriety. And sobriety. That's it. That's all. No big deal. Okay? So, this is what the Word of God says. Now, Paul, in its context, as he writes, some of the wealthy women in the church, they were doing there in Ephesus, were dressing inappropriately. Their clothing was opulent, their jewelry was excessive, and their hairstyle was extravagant. Paul encouraged these sisters to dress in a way that is in keeping with their Christian character. Praise the Lord. When Paul addresses this issue and says that their dress ought to be modest, he was not isolating the standards only to women. It's also applicable to men. What? In every manner, it has to reflect and reveal. What? What? Reflect and reveal what? Christ in our lives. Paul was pointing out that a woman's faith ought to impact and influence her wardrobe choices as it would influence her behavior. Hello. The clothing should be respectful and modest, demonstrating self-control, because that's the standard for Christian conduct. And this also applies to both women and men. We have a Heavenly Father who loves us. Any doubt? Heavenly Father wants all of his sons, all of his guys, to look handsome. Heavenly Father wants all of His daughters to look beautiful. Anybody has a doubt? No. If your father, if your earthly father wants you to look handsome and wants you to look beautiful, how much more your heavenly father wants you to look handsome and beautiful? What is the difference? The difference is this. The Bible stresses beauty of inward beauty over the external. There is the internal beauty and there is the external beauty. Praise the Lord. God gives more premium or priority to the internal beauty. Praise the Lord. It is not sin to look good, guys. Don't think that that's what we are peddling here. It is not sin to look good. And it is definitely not more spiritual to look shabby. No, don't get it wrong. We are not promoting being shabby. No, and we are not saying that being shabby is more spiritual. No, that's not what we are saying. What are we saying? It's not a sin to look good. Look good. Do everything that you can do, but everything in moderation. Praise the Lord. It's very important. We as God's children, we have a responsibility to yield the members of our bodies as instruments of righteousness and thereby use our God-given bodies to glorify Him. Praise the Lord. Our purpose in life is to reflect Christ Jesus and radiate with His love and glory even in the way that we carry ourselves, including the attires that we wear. Yeah, I want you to come with me. Right? When we were born again, when we came to the Lord Jesus, all of us had a spiritual clothing. Do you know what it is? Anybody before you are born again? Hello. The Bible calls it, Prophet Isaiah calls it, filthy rags of sin. That's what we were wearing. Filthy rags of sin. He took that off and adorned us, number one, with the garment of salvation. Number two, the robe of righteousness. Number three, the garment of praise. So when I enter into God's presence, when you enter into God's presence, when God the Father looks at me and you, both born again, male and female, praise God, He looks at the garment of salvation. Praise God. He looks at the robe of righteousness that I'm robed with. I look elegant in His sight. Praise God. I look as if His own Son stands before Him. And then there is this garment of praise that has been given. I break out in praise because I realize that by myself I could not have torn that rags of sin that I was wearing. It was stenching with sin. It was stinking with sin. It had all kinds of dirt on it. God ripped it off me and He adorned me with the garment of salvation. He robed me with the robe of righteousness. Hallelujah. He robed me with that garment of praise. So when I walk into the presence of God, I say, praise Him. Hallelujah. That is my spiritual attire that He has robed me with. Now, praise the Lord, when I enter into His presence, hallelujah, my external attire should somehow, somewhat match what I'm wearing on the inside. Hey, praise God. Cannot be two different things. The inside has to reflect the outside. Praise God. That's why the Bible gives premium, priority to the internal beauty. You know why? Because the Bible says charm is deceptive and beauty is. Now, I could be the most handsome person on the face of the earth. I know that all of you will unanimously disagree. That's okay. When I look in the mirror, I look cool. Praise God. But then God gives premium to the inner person. Why? Because no matter how handsome a person looks, no matter how beautiful you are, no doubt you are beautiful, slowly and steadily it's gonna show. What? What's gonna show? It's gonna show. It's gonna show. Some people age very slowly. They have some good genes. Some others, quick, fast. Sometimes we hide it. There's nothing wrong. You want to hide it, you can hide it. There's nothing wrong. But you can hide the feeling. I can hide all how I look and all those things. But how I feel, because it's inbuilt. God built us like that. You feel it. You feel it, you know. I used an example a few weeks ago. Sometimes when your hands don't go all the way up. There is pain here. There is pain there. There is ache here. There is ache there. And one by one, those good, sharp teeth that we had, we used to like crush anything and munch. And, you know, those things, they get weak. You know, thank God for the dentist that God has given us. Thank God for the for all those of you who work in healthcare. Praise God, you make the quality of life good for people, yet all of us will grow old. That's the reality. But the Bible says when the external grow old, the inner continues to glow. Hello. One grows old with time. The internal glows with time. It has to glow. It has to glow. That's why Paul writing says the inner beauty of an unfading and a gentle spirit. The beauty of you know, that means the beauty inside, it doesn't fade. It continues to glow. It continues to radiate. And as we live on the face of the earth, that's what God expects. On a spiritual note, on a spiritual plane, that's what needs to happen. On a physical note, what is expected of us is not get grouchy when we become old. Sometimes people do get grouchy because when you can't do what you were doing before, people get grouchy. That's the natural thing. But what God expects is as you grow old, do you know what is the context? Unfading beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit. What is the context? Anybody remember? Anybody remember? Nobody remembers? Peter, yes. What's the context? Oh, come on. The unfading beauty of the gentle and a quiet spirit. Brother Finney Joshua, what is the context? Right. So that is what God is expecting. Now, I want you to draw your attention to your home, to your family, husband and wife. As you grow old, you fell in love with that beautiful woman. But slowly what time and tide took a toll. Men don't realize that time and tide don't only take a toll on women. It take a toll on you too. All right? So what happens? The figure disappears and a new figure comes. So what? You have already fallen in love with that inner person. Hello. And that's what God intends us to fall in love with our spouse, with that inner person. Okay? When I do the premarital counseling, I ask everyone that I do premarital counseling, I ask them, do you like what you see? They laugh. I said, don't laugh. There's a meaning to the question. Do you like what you see? If you don't like what you see, please don't get married to that person. You need to like the person how they look, you need to like them. Then you marry that person. Don't just marry them. But that's only the beginning spot. That's the scratch. That's the the utmost external. But slowly you have to fall in love with that internal person. And as time passes on, you realize that you have fallen in love with that inner person. You are in love. Have you seen elderly couples walk hand in hand and still in love? You stop them and you look at them carefully. Hey, why are they in love? Why are they in love? I mean, look at them. Look all that. Why are you in love? They have come to a point where they can't live without them. Hello? All in agreement say amen. This is a free lesson for you, man. You don't plan to get mad. It's a preview. Is Crystal here? All right, praise the Lord. Okay, let's move on. So Bible gives premium priority to the internal beauty, internal adornment. The reason is because the external fades with time, the internal glows with time. Praise the Lord. What we need to understand from Paul's writing is what we wear on the outside should be befitting or proper for women who profess godliness. Hello. In the house of God, the sisters, the men and women, they profess godliness. Women who profess godliness should have an attire that matches. The external ought to be an exhibition and an expression of the internal. How we dress is very important. Modesty in dress requires what? It requires careful discrimination. Modesty in dress requires careful discrimination. A believer cannot, should not be conformed to the sensuous standards of the world. That means our dress should not provoke lust in anyone. Do you know who's the first designer that the world has ever seen? Huh? God. God is the first designer. Did you know that? So when his words address it, it's not that an amateur is writing. It is a true professional designer. Number one designer is the one who's putting these words down. Whether you like it or not, or whether you're going to say amen it or not, he's the one who did it. Genesis 3. 7 and 3:21. Somebody read it out loud. Genesis is the first book in the Bible. As you turn the first pages, you will come to Genesis 1, 2, 3. And the eyes of both of them were open, Adam and Eve. They were opened. Okay. And they realized that they were naked. So they did what? They sewed fig leaves, thank God for fig leaves, and they did what? They covered themselves. Okay? Hold on. See, as God created Adam and Eve, that's why whenever you touch the Bible creation, you have to go to the original. All right? When God created Adam and Eve, they were covered with glory. They lived in the age dispensation of innocence. No sin had entered into the earth. They lived in a utopian setup. Absolute perfection, purity. They walked with God. They hanged around with God. They had an assignment from above and they were active till sin entered into the world. So as soon as sin entered into the world by disobedience, the first thing that they realize is, the glory that covered them. They realized that they were naked. The Bible says they both realized that they were naked and they felt ashamed. And what did they do? They took fig leaves and they covered themselves. Fast forward, verse 21. The Lord God made garments of skin. For Adam and his wife and clothed them. So the first designer was God himself. Okay? First designer was God himself. You need to understand. Think for a moment. Who was there in the garden? Adam and Eve, and who else? Who else was there in the garden, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve realized that they were naked? There was no other person there, no other human being there, nobody. But they felt there was a need to cover themselves up. When God comes to the scene, they hide. They are afraid and they are ashamed. And God did what? He clothed them. Praise God. He clothed them. Even when there was nobody around, God gave them a proper covering. The purpose of cloth, the purpose of dress, the purpose of attire is not to show off, but to cover up. Hello. The purpose of our attire is not to show off, but to cover up. Praise the Lord. This is how Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. We are what? Anybody read out that verse quick? First Corinthians 6:19-20. Oh my God. Do you not know? We should know it and we know it. Do you not know that your bodies are what? It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. Our bodies are temple of the Holy Spirit. Yes, read on. Therefore, honor God in your bodies. How to live in your body? Who does the body belong to? What is this body for? What is the purpose for this body? In relationship, in regards to God, praise the Lord, we need to ask ourselves this question. We gave you the spiritual picture, how we enter into God's presence, how he has adorned us. Now Paul is saying that the Holy Spirit, he dwells within us. We are the body. We are the temple of the living God. The Holy Spirit indwells us. When we have that thought in our minds, then how we carry ourselves, how we exhibit ourselves, how we express ourselves, it differs widely from the world. Praise the Lord. Holy Spirit inhabits every saved person's life. Hey, my body, your body, is not leased, it's not rented out. It is redeemed, it is purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It belongs to who? The one who paid the price to you. Therefore, he has every right to say what he needs to say. When you said, I receive Jesus as my Savior, you said, Lord, you are the Lord of my life. You came under the Lordship of Jesus. Coming under the Lordship of Jesus means coming under the directives of the Word of God. So the Word of God says, my body does not belong to me. It's not leased out to me. It's not rented out to me. It's the temple of the living God. Praise God. Hallelujah. We are instruments of righteousness in the hands of God. The purpose of this is to glorify God in our body, not becoming instruments of allurements to every people on earth. Praise the Lord. We have to display to the world the love of God, the grace of God. From head to toe, you exclusively belong to Jesus. From the crown of your head to the very sole of your feet belongs to him. Praise the Lord. You and I have been called to become a living sacrifice, which is holy and pleasing to God. Hallelujah. Yes, holy and pleasing to God. That is what is expected of you and me. Praise the Lord. So, what is it that God expects? God expects what? Modesty, propriety, and sobriety. Every setting. Praise the Lord. Especially when you come in the house of God. But then, I also always used to think, you know, it matters how you come in the house of God, but outside, is that true? I realize that I'm wrong. When I read the scripture, I realize that I am the temple of the living God. I have become what? A carrier of the presence of God. But sometimes we do a trick. We go underground. We try to become invisible. No, you cannot become invisible. If he's in you, his presence is in you, you are visible to God 24/7. Praise the Lord. Now, when you read that passage, it talks about good works, right? I want you somebody to read that verse for me. Chapter 2. Verse 10. But which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. Of course, Paul does not suggest that good works are a substitute for clothing or our attire. Rather, he was contrasting with the cheap, external, expensive clothing, jewelry, with the true value of godly character and Christian service. In other words, we have to adorn ourselves with good works. Praise the Lord. So, steps to assure you are dressing in modesty and in sobriety. Understand the purpose of clothing, and asking ourselves these questions will help you. Number one, is it God honoring? Does my attire honor God? When I do, am I trying to attract the attention of God or men? Of course, it's your body and it's your money. You decide what you want to do with your body and with your dress and with your money and all those things. That's true. But as a child of God, you have come under the lordship of Jesus Christ. You want to honor God. Praise the Lord. Number two, is it decent? My dressing, does it distract others as they come to worship God? What governs my standard, worldly standard or heavenly standard? Purpose of dress is to cover up, not to show forth. Next thing that we need to ask is it moderate? And when you stand, sometimes I do it normally. I ask my son, I ask my wife, how does this look? I let my son and my wife pick the tie for me because I would pick the wrong one. I'll pick the odd one. So I ask before I step out, hey guys, you know, which one you think? My son thinks by now you should have learned. Yeah, there's nothing wrong. And a husband checking out his wife before she steps out. A father checking out his daughter before she steps out. And you wives and you ladies, you sisters, you can check out your brothers, your husband before they step out. Because we what? We back up each other. We are in the same team. Hello? We are in the same team. We're not in a different team. We're in the same team. So we watch out for each other. We compliment each other. We look out for each other's interest. Again, I'm not promoting being shabby. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not. But the scripture addresses it because It is very important how you carry yourself in the house of God. Praise God. What is our desire? To glorify God? It should be seen in every realms of our life. Praise the Lord. Above everything else, we have the Spirit of God that indwells us. Praise God. We want to make sure that God is pleased with our demeanor, our disposition, the way that we carry ourselves, our behavior, our attitude, our mindset, and our displays. Praise God. We want to make sure that God is honored and God is glorified through the way that we carry ourselves. Our clothing is supposed to tell the truth about the gospel. It shows the world that Jesus covered our shame and our sin and made us presentable before God. Praise the Lord. If so, on a physical realm, our clothes should cover our nakedness as the clothing of Jesus covered our filthy life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ask ourselves, are we honoring God the way that we dress? Praise God. Again, we are not saying what you should wear, but you need to ask yourself, am I reflecting the grace of God? When people look at me, what do they think? What goes through their mind? Praise the Lord. Who are you radiating with? Are you radiating with the love of God? Are you glowing with the grace of Jesus Christ? Praise God. Are you reflecting who you are in Christ Jesus? Going overboard, whether it's your attire, whether it's just pure dress or jewelry or whatever we use. Praise the Lord. How does it reflect our life? We need to ask ourselves, and we want to conduct ourselves in the presence of God, in the house of God, in a way that is pleasing to God and edifying the body of Christ. And the church said, amen, amen. All eyes closed. 1 second. 1 second. As you hear God's word, well, how's your prayer life? At home, at church. How's your hands? Are they holy hands? If you have not received Jesus as your Savior, you cannot have holy hands. It is the blood of Jesus that washes us and gives us a holy hand. And after that, we have to maintain our holy hands because it represents a holy life. We want to live a life that is pleasing to God. And when we come in the house of God, are we dressed up modestly in sobriety? How do we carry ourselves? You can't stop people from watching us. You can't. When people watch us, may they say, you are a beautiful woman of God. May they say, you are a beautiful daughter of God. May the men and the women of the world watch you, my brothers. May they say that you are a graceful, handsome man of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. We are the carriers of God's presence. How often we fall short in reflecting the glory of God in our life. God help us, Father. Forgive us, forgive our shortcoming, that quite often we are a poor reflection of who you are. Praise God. Lord, you adorned us with a robe of righteousness, with a garment of salvation, with a garment of praise. Help me, help us to reflect that on the external. As the external continue to grow old, Father, we pray the internal will continue to glow with glory from above. And may it reflect every arenas of our lives. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, we're going to...